Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton.
A Radio.com sports station.
Home of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, announced before practice today that Ryan Fitzpatrick is currently leading the QB race between Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. The Colts are shutting down Andrew Luck for at least the next two practices and possibly longer due to a left calf strain that has bothered him since late April. Jim Ellis, the only coach to win two Women's World Cups, is stepping down. As head coach of the U.S. Women's National Team, Ellis will step down after the U.S. completes its victory tour in October and will remain on with the U.S. soccer as an ambassador. Blazers guard CJ McCollum has agreed to a three-year, $100 million contract extension, extending his current deal to 5 years, $157 million. The PGA Tour, Player Advisory Council, and Policy Board voted last month to reduce the 36-hole cut size from the top 70 players and ties to the top 65 players in ties starting with this season. Tonight, the Marlins will begin a three-game set versus the Minnesota Twins. Zach Gallen gets to start for the Fish. First pitch from Marlins Park is set for 7:10. Over to weather now, brought to you by Hialeah Park. Today's forecast in Miami is partly cloudy. There is a 75% chance you will not see rain today in South Florida. Today's high will reach 91 degrees and the low will drop to 79. Visit Hialeah Park Casino every Saturday to win your share of $10,000 in giveaways. Drawings all day long and it's free to enter. Visit HialeahPark.com for more info. I'm Alejandro Solana. And now we get back to the Hockman and Crowder Show here on AM 560 and FM 99.9 HD2 WQAM.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that?
I thought I said to play Busta Rhymes.
Play Will Smith.
I tried. We don't have Busta Rhymes in the system, and it gets kind of crazy for me to download it because of expletives.
No worries.
Yeah.
That's good. He's a little rattled today, so it's
I'm
fine.
I'm not rattled.
Everything's
give him,
fine.
Give him
I tried.
A break.
Everything's
yeah.
fine.
I tried.
Everything's fine. I personally believe you forgot, but that's okay. I liked your explanation.
Even if I didn't prove, I could prove to you that I didn't because I have it downloaded on my laptop, emailed to myself, but that's fine. Go ahead. Assume.
You got to him today.
That's why I laid off, man.
Yeah. Take it easy.
You thought that this was Busta Rhymes? Like, were you trying to get one past me?
Sounds similar.
Will Smith.
Do you have the cut from Brian Flores talking to the media today about why he let Pat Flaherty go? I don't have a cut list for Flores, I don't think. Oh, I do, actually. Let me see here. Let me see which one I want to hear, Solana. I guess there's a bunch of cuts here regarding the firing of Flaherty. That's the one that really interests me. Well, let's start then with cut number two, how about, where he talks about the continuity of the coaching staff. Can we start with number two? Brian Flores today at Dolphins practice.
I'm not. I think we've got a very good staff. I think the players respond to the coaches on the staff. I think Dave's going to do a great job. I think Chad and the rest of the offensive staff is up for the challenge. And I don't think we're going to miss a beat, to be honest.
What did you tell the players about the decision?
I told them that, you know, every decision, you know, I make is going to be in the best interest of this team, you know. Right now and moving forward. And some of those are tough decisions. And that's the truth. That's just, you know, it's as authentic as I can be. You know, nothing's more important than to me than, you know, this team, this organization, and, you know, part of that's making the hard decisions. And this was a hard one. It was. You know, that wasn't an easy conversation. And but I think it's you know, I went with my gut on this one. You know, and I'm always going to do that. And I think that's, you know, if I don't do that, then I'm not being true to myself, and I'm not being authentic with, you know, how I feel about this team and this organization and where I want to go. So that, I'm always going to go with my gut.
That's one of those, you know, where those wake up moments where you go, wow, I'm the head coach now. Like, I've got to answer to a whole bunch of reporters every decision that I make.
And you know how we talk about, and I've talked about it, where Cam Cameron loses a team, or you hear the thought of a coach losing a team. What if you see, as a head coach, you're one of your assistant coaches lost their room?
Yeah.
You have to move on, especially if it's day four of camp. You have to move on. And Flores says, the first thing he said caught my attention because it was kind of playing in a narrative that was already in my mind. I need players to respond to their coach. Flaherty might not have been getting the same energy that the other coaching staff was getting out of their position room.
Here's more explanation from Brian Flores on why he let Pat Flaherty go.
You know, we felt like we needed to make that move, and I felt that way. I think I'm always going to do what's in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins, and I felt that was the case with this move. And you know, as a team, we need to move forward. It was a tough decision. It was. I think the easy decision would have been to do nothing and hopefully it gets better, and hope that it got better. But I just felt like it was the move for us to make and build moving forward.
And then there's one more cut. Cut number 10, Solana, if you can. There's one more cut here that I see where he was asked when the actual decision to fire Flaherty was made.
Yesterday. I think it's been something that you know, had been, you know, on my mind for, you know, some time before that. And again, it wasn't an easy decision. It's not an easy thing to do. But I also feel like, and like I said earlier, the easy thing to do is just hope that it gets better. And more times than not, you know, my experience is, you know, they don't get better. And then who loses out is those guys out on the field. And it's my responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen, or to put this team in the best possible situation they can be in. And if I don't do that, then I'm not doing my job, and I didn't come here to do that.
He's right. The easy decision is to do nothing.
Yeah.
He's not answering any questions today other than about the quarterbacks and whatnot. Like, he's not being – there's no Armando Salguero column about how that's the first Dolphins failure under his tenure. Like, it's easy to – well, it's the offensive line coach. No one's really expecting much out of our offensive line, and I'll grin and bear it for this season. I can make a change after the season. Like, he's right. That would have been the easy decision.
And it might be crazy on my side, but – His obvious, I would say, to me it's obvious, reluctancy to make that decision encourages me that he made it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it seems like he didn't want to make it, but he was saying, for the betterment of my team, to make our team better, I believe that Coach Googs is better than Flaherty. I have to make that move now. I still support the move, even though it was 4 days in the camp.
Can you play cut number 3 where he talks about Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the quarterback battle? I know I read that earlier in the show, but here is Brian Flores talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the QB race.
you know, yesterday was obviously a day off, and you know, as a coaching staff, we really evaluated the entire roster. I would say from a quarterback standpoint, you know, it's pretty clear to me that Ryan Fitzpatrick is leading the way. I think he's done that in a lot of areas, from, you know, leadership to production on the field to you know, in the meeting rooms and the walkthroughs. And I think I think it's, you know, this is an ongoing competition, but, you know, right now, I think I'd say he's leading the way.
I mean, he said it's pretty clear to me. Like, there's no, like, that was not waffling by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope, and I'm sure Rosen has heard the same criticisms he just told the media, and that's how it's supposed to be. Let me know what I'm doing wrong if I'm not. If I'm not top of the depth chart, let me know how I can get there.
We have some sound from Josh Rosen. Can you bring that up? Well, listen to this right now because it's interesting. I don't know how he's responded to everything. So I'm guessing this is like what? On the field availability? It's probably not podium, is it?
No, this is basically right after camp when all the media can just surround them on the field.
Okay. Well, we'll just go in order here. Cut number one says Josh Rosen talking about what he's improving on.
Just IDing defenses, and this offense gives a lot of control to the quarterback, and a lot of things I'm doing that I've never done before, but I think that it's an empowering thing, and Fitz shows it when you can control everything, you can operate quicker, and you can really take advantage of certain things, as opposed to sort of dispersing the responsibility, so it's a challenge I'm looking forward to.
He's under a microscope, man. I do not relish the role that Josh Rosen is in because he came here with the baggage and he was questioned from the moment they started talking about it. And now there's this, you know, Fitzpatrick's in the lead and he doesn't want to say anything wrong. He can't, like, he probably, my gut instinct is Josh Rosen wants to say, I know I'm the best quarterback out there because any competitor wants to say that, but he can't say that.
He can't say it.
He knows he can't say it.
He shouldn't say it. But he's the first domino to fall for the future of the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, I'm with you. He is in a situation that I do not envy.
Here's more from Josh Rosen today on playing better each and every day.
I don't know about well, but better each day. I mean, you guys keep asking kind of similar questions. I keep getting similar answers, so I apologize. But that's kind of like what Coach Flores preaches every day, and that's what I'm trying to kind of take to heart.
Trying not to get to that TNT wall is what he's doing. He was asked flat out about being number two to Ryan Fitzpatrick right now.
I'm just trying to control what I control. I mean, I've been taking after him since day one. He's been helping me out a bunch. And I keep saying it each and every day that I'm just trying to sort of be better than I was the day before. I think I've been on a pretty good trajectory. I think I'm doing better each day and continuing to, so... Yeah.
He's got a talking point. Get better each and every day. He's got, like, he's honed in on that. That comes from, you know, his agent, his family, whatever. You could tell. Like, that's just keep saying, I'm trying to get better each and every day.
I hope this is his modest, you know how they break a horse. I hope this is him being broken.
I believe he got broken during all the trade talk, during the draft and whatnot. Like, I believe he got broken. Like, this is.
That doesn't exude confidence. When he talks, I don't hear quarterback. I hear backup guard.
But it's the opposite of what we were told about Josh Rosen.
It was.
I mean, it is the opposite of everything we've been told about him. But you could see, yeah, he got broken during that time. He was labeled as a bad teammate. And just think about the optics of, forget about being the bad teammate and being too arrogant in the locker room in your rookie season and whatnot. Think about how it feels to be a team's number one draft pick and then traded. This doesn't happen with quarterbacks.
No.
Like, nobody gets selected 10 and then gets traded the next season for second round, late second round pick. Like, it doesn't happen. So, like, beyond all the pundits that talked about him and the columnists that wrote about him and the analysts on television that spoke about him, beyond all that, that'll break you. Getting traded that quickly. Like, you don't think Pat Flaherty is a little broken today? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
That'll break you. Like, that, I mean, it doesn't happen to get fired like that.
But I hope it's just in the media and not in his everyday approach to it. Because, like I'm saying, the best quarterback I've been around was Chad Pennington. I was around a bunch of great ones. But his delivery, just the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he had that I always call it the Rick James glow. Like, there's an aura that people carry. I don't feel a lot of aura out of Rosen. I've watched him on the news. I don't see a lot of aura out of him. But it's the opposite of what we heard about him. I hope with some confidence, with a couple starts or whatever, he can get that back, because that modest, we're just trying to make stuff happen and get better every day. You don't win just trying to get better every day. You win going out there to show out, ball, do something, shake something.
There was a story that I had bookmarked on NBC Sports that said, the title was Baker Mayfield Lets His Receivers Hear It During Practice. And the story was essentially about Baker Mayfield is out there jawing at receivers, getting in their faces in open public practices. And I was going to ask you if you think that's the better approach for some quarterbacks. Like Joey Harrington, I'm imagining, couldn't have done that.
No, he's real lame.
But like Baker Mayfield doing it kind of makes sense.
The thing with Baker is, and I was hearing people criticize him, and I'm totally against that, he's around a bunch of puppies. Like Baker couldn't yell at Larry Fitzgerald. Like perfect Kyler
but
Murray,
Odell
Kyler
and Jarvis,
Murray, but they
David Njoku, like these guys.
Just David Njoku's been in Cleveland for a while, so he's seen a bunch of bad quarterbacks. Odell, him and Eli are going at it right now over the media. Jarvis, we know he hated Tannehill. You get a quarterback that has that it and that wants to win and that got a little stank to him, and he's getting on you. You embrace that from those young guys. He could not. Antonio Brown would not respond well to Baker Mayfield. Julio Jones would not respond well to Baker Mayfield. Odell, Jarvis, and Njoku, Nick Chubbs, Duke Johnson. That young core of offense. You have to look at the ages of those guys and their success. They've never had overall team success. They've had personal success. Jarvis set NFL records. Odell set NFL records. But they haven't had team success, deep playoff runs. What they saw to Baker last year, what they see, he extends plays. He can make me a better receiver. And I'm cocky, and my quarterback can be cocky too. I think an isolated situation with Baker and his skill position in Cleveland, I think it works great. I think they have no problem with him getting on him because they know where his heart is. His heart's in winning.
I would tell you, too, that I think Jarvis and Odell probably respond better to a quarterback like that. They probably like that versus Ryan Tannehill and Eli Manning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Ryan Tannehill and Eli Manning weren't going to be like, we know Baker Mayfield's an in-your-face kind of guy. I think they like that and respect it. They may butt heads,
yes,
but I think they like that and prefer it.
But just, you got it.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just going to say, you say that you don't see an aura from Rosen, but, man, like, if you put into context what happened today, publicly the coach announced, you are not outperforming Ryan Fitzpatrick, and right
but
now he's the starter.
I think that there's a reason that Brian Flores did that publicly and gave him the blueprint that Crowder mentioned earlier, which is I think Brian Flores is telling him, get that aura back.
Yes.
I think he's saying to him, I want that Josh Rosen that we looked at before Arizona took you in the draft. I want that Josh Rosen that was brash, and he talked about it, right about Fitzpatrick leadership. Leadership. To me, that's kind of a code for, where are you, Josh? Where are you? I want you to be vying for control of this team with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't cede control to Ryan. Because you could understand Josh Rosen doing that. He didn't have to do that in Arizona because it didn't really matter. Who was it? It was Sam Bradford, I think, that was there. And, you know, everyone knew he was going to get injured. Like, I think Josh Rosen, the mindset is, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick's season. I'm going to defer to him and learn from him. And there may be a little part of Brian Flores where he's saying, hey, where are you? Like let's have a little bit of that fire.
Right. So how is he supposed to approach that? Like, what would you have preferred to hear from him today? Instead of saying, I'm just trying to get better and repeating that over and over, like, what's he supposed to say? I'm going to win this job.
I always feel like I'm the best quarterback out on the field. I can't control anything that I can't control. That's obviously the head coach's decision. But I come out here, I'm always the best quarterback on the field. That's the way I've always lived my life. Now, if Ryan Fitzpatrick proves otherwise or Brian Flores thinks otherwise, that's fine because I'm here to be a great teammate. But I'm out here, I'm balling, I'm trying to ball harder each and every day. Like, you would hear a little bit more of that.
And just that, it's the swag. The UM, y'all was talking about the swag. You know what swag is. Like, you'll never hear Ed Reed or Ray Lewis or Michael Irvin. I'm just every day I'm going to be a little bit better than yesterday. No, I'm going to go out here and show out. I'm the baddest thing on the field. They just haven't figured it out yet. Like, just, you don't have to be just over the top arrogant, but just
you think Tom Brady's a good quarterback? Wait till you see me out there. You don't have to be that.
That's a little too far. But even Brady, like you brought up Brady. Brady doesn't brag about how great he is. He doesn't talk about, rings. I have the rings. I'm the best quarterback. Everybody knows that. Just the way he approaches it. Yeah, we're gonna go out here and, you know, we're gonna try to continue this thing we've been doing. Like, he has something to him that Rosen seems, he talks like a deer in headlights.
I think Rosen has it too. Again, I think he's just been broken, to use the terminology. I think he's just been broken, which I understand. I'm not blaming him for it. And hopefully after a few practices, to me it's kind of like Pat Riley saying about Eric Spoelstra giving him like a public vote of confidence when the Big Three era started. Like, to me, Brian Flores saying publicly the leadership and whatever, I think he's kind of like telling everybody, like, I want to see a little bit more from Josh Rosen in that arena.
I've talked about when Chad Pennington came into the Dolphins. Oh, wait, the playoff year and aberration year, whatever you want to call it. When he walked in on the field, you felt different. You just felt something more. He's in 7-on-7. First couple days he's there, we're in OTA 7-on-7, and they're running routes on the starting defense, and we're shutting them down. And he's yelling, come on, guys, y'all are better than them. And we're all sitting out there like, we're better than who? Bro, we're a pretty good defense. He's not disrespecting us. He's just putting his enthusiasm. He's putting his confidence in his offensive players. They weren't great offensive players that year. Fasano, you know, the Wildcat year, you know, Ricky and Ronnie, those guys. But if you look at those skill positions, they weren't all pros. But he was trying to put that confidence in them. You can beat this dude. And then he'd come over to the defense. Hey, why did y'all drop back underneath this? Oh, because y'all have no threat in the flat. Okay. So he would go back and adjust with his team. So he was encouraging the defense by asking us questions, talking to us. Talking trash to us sometimes, but also talking football with us. Also going back to the offense, talking football and talking trash to them back and forth. That's what the Bradys, that's what the Rodgers, that's what the good quarterbacks do. Pennington was the only quarterback I played with that could do that. Good quarterbacks have that. I believe Fitzpatrick has it. He's not as physically talented as those guys, but his mentality, that Rick James glow I talk about, Rosen has to get it back if he once had it or gain it if he's never had it. But you have to have that in your quarterback.
Tuan Russell, former Cane, former Dolphin, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock today. I've got tickets for Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan is coming to the Coral Sky Amphitheater in West Palm Beach. That's a very good prize. We'll give those away in the next segment. Solano, we'll do that in the next segment.
Sounds good.
Do we have a contest line?
305-567-0560.
Well, that's our call-in line. Do we have a contest line?
Only one line works right now in our call-in line anyways.
So. Okay. Well, no, but there was only one line on the contest line also. I just didn't know if we had a separate contest line still.
I believe we will, but at the moment we do not.
Okay. So, but we'll do it in the next segment. In the next segment, someone listening will win a pair of Luke Bryan tickets.
Radio.com.
Amazing that this song makes me think of the movie Us now.
Yeah, it does.
Just makes me think of the movie Us.
I mean, was it that means it's a good movie?
No, because the movie wasn't good. It was okay.
It was okay.
It was just okay. But the use of this song in the trailer, in the movie as well,
yeah,
was excellent. But the trailer was as good as any movie trailer that I'd ever seen. I was so excited to see that movie. Can't all be winners.
People were disgusted by eating the rabbits, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was gross, but I don't know. I mean, whatever.
I eat rabbits, though. That was the funny thing. They wanted to make it gory. I love me a good rabbit.
You eat them raw?
No.
I believe that was the gross part.
You put the file underneath them.
Yeah, it wasn't really eating the rabbit. It was eating them raw. I don't know how closely you were watching the movie.
Rabbit tartare, I think they call it, right?
Yeah, would you eat it?
I tried. I've eaten beef tartare. I've eaten raw tuna. I've eaten all the sushi.
But the rabbit, I think, had fur on it. I don't even think it was prepared very well.
They weren't even field dressing it. That's the problem. Like, I need to teach those tethers how to field dress a rabbit.
Well, the tethers have not learned much.
I teach them how to field dress it.
Well, all right. They started with something grander than just making the rabbit more palatable. They started with taking the planet for themselves.
Yeah.
It's a strange movie. It was nowhere near as good as I thought it was going to be.
No, because you said it. Peele. Was it Peele?
It was Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
He set the bar so high
with Get Out. Yep.
That's what I'm seeing. I was watching Get Out 2 in my mind for some reason.
So was I. I thought it was going to be a psychological thriller.
Yes.
Like, Get Out to me, like, that scene at the auction, like, and all of a sudden they're holding up his picture, or he's looking in the little crawl space and there's a whole bunch of pictures with Allison Williams with other black dudes, even a black woman.
Yep. And grandma.
Like, just the part where you get the chills and stuff. Us was just a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like everything Get Out, every scene almost had like a deeper meaning.
Yes.
Felt
yeah.
like.
Yes.
And like every time I rewatch that movie, I've seen like seven times, you find something else. You're like, hey, wow, that makes sense. In Us, It was just weird. Like, I felt the entire theater when I was there, the theater, was laughing the entire time.
There were times, it's funny that you say that, because I saw it the opening weekend. There were times where the theater started laughing, and I was like, wow, that was not meant to be a comedy
right,
scene.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it was, like, uncomfortable laughing, was it not? Where you're like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Well, because I think everybody was expecting one thing and got something different. I remember after we'd seen it that opening weekend, I forwarded Crowder something I had read. You can look for it on Google or whatnot, but it was, there is deeper meaning in like every scene, the outfits that the tethers are wearing, the way that they get redder with blood, like everything has significance. It just didn't carry as well as Get Out did. Like even the title, they were saying Us, it was short also for US because it was a look at the tethers as being like a downtrodden part of society and whatnot. Like it all had deeper meaning. It just sometimes you swing and hit, sometimes you swing and miss.
I was just going to say, because I think the racial side of Get Out brought the meaning to a bigger point. Where with you, when you're questioning all of mankind, I think you kind of miss the racial. I think that racial part of bidding for black people made Get Out better than Us.
Well, I think also there was that psychological thriller aspect of it, though, honestly. Like, even if you took the colors out of it, like, just seeing where she's telling one story and living a certain life with this guy that she's dating, and then you start to see him start to realize everything he thought was true is a complete lie. And then, as heartless as she and her family are, it was just...
The daughter was something else.
I mean, it was nutty. That movie was so damn good.
I think I dated her at UF. I'll like that. I'll give invite me back home.
I'll give him, I'll give Jordan Peele a mulligan on Us. I'll wait for the next one. There's a story, by the way. I don't know if you saw this on CBS Sports. John Harbaugh. I don't know. This was all over. That he says take the over when it comes to Lamar Jackson's rushing numbers. Have you seen this where he's talking about they're going to do something brand new? This is the Dolphins' first regular season opponent. This is what it says on CBSSports.com. The Baltimore Ravens are expected to run one of the most dynamic offensive attacks in the NFL this season, and it will all center around Lamar Jackson. The 2016 Heisman Trophy winner took over the reins of Baltimore's offense in Week 11, and his rushing ability helped the Ravens secure their first AFC North title since 2012. Jackson is expected to make even more plays with his legs in 2019, but just how many rushing attempts will he have? During an appearance on NFL Network's Inside Training Camp Live, head coach John Harbaugh confirmed that Jackson won't be on much of a pitch count this year. Former Ravens coach Brian Billick brought up when Cam Newton rushed 139 times in 2017, and without hesitation, Harbaugh said, I'd bet the over on that one. It's going to be interesting. I don't think we know the exact numbers or the math, you know. If you look back and you think about the history a little bit, the game was probably revolutionized with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, and that's been the model for the last 25, 30 years. And we've all been chasing that model, pretty much trying to find that quarterback and find that rhythm and all the things that go with that offense, and it really hasn't changed too much. None of us can envision what's going to come in the future. John Harbaugh is telling you they are going to run an offense that is centered all over Lamar Jackson. I wonder, you know, because you're not believing it with Josh Allen with Buffalo. I wonder if he can make it work in Baltimore.
It can work, but it's going to be the same thing that happened to RG3 when they made an offense around him based on just the quarterback being the 11th player, and then Haloti Ngata ruined his career. Look what's happening to Cam Newton right now, back-to-back years with shoulder surgery, because they're barreling Cam Newton into 260-pound linebackers, 290, 310-pound defensive linemen. Can it work? It can work. It worked for RG3. It worked for Cam Newton. Will his career be shortened? Will Lamar Jackson be able to do this the rest of his life? No. Cam Newton needs to figure it out. RG3 never figured it out. It's funny to me that he's bragging about it, because now if I was the Dolphins, I would know, hey, we got to stop the quarterback, and if you kill the head, the body dies. hit him real, real, real hard, because once he establishes himself as a runner, he's not a quarterback anymore. You can lay his ass out.
But I think what you're going to see is, because Brian Flores is a defensive guy, though, I think he's going to end up seeing an offense he's never seen before. Like, the first game makes me a little bit nervous, because I think all the things that Brian Flores probably thinks are tried and true when it comes to, you know, he was with the Patriots, right, when you guys ran the Wildcat? Yep. I don't know in what function, but
yeah,
like,
he was there.
Bill Belichick got surprised. John Harbaugh is giving him a little bit of a heads up here, but still, if it's an offense you've never seen before, that's kind of hard to scheme for, no?
With RG3, with Cam, with what they do with Josh Allen,
have a spy?
Back to Tebow, back to what they try with Johnny Manziel. You have a spy, or you just account the court. It's like, you know what you have to do, to be honest? You have to run a college defense because they're running a college offense. That's all it is. If you run the quarterback, make the quarterback, it's really – there's only five people that can touch a ball without the quarterback. Now you have to count for six ball touchers, which sounds crazy. But there are six ball touchers. It's a college offense, so you run a college defense. I'm not – if a team tells me the quarterback runs a lot, that puts no fear in my heart.
It puts less fear in your heart.
Yeah, no more fear. It's less fear. Honestly, yes, because I know – they're going to waste plays trying to get the quarterback going on the ground. Get the quarterback going on the ground. When's the last time you saw a quarterback win a game on foot?
I'm telling you.
On a successful team. Josh Allen did it last year, but they were what?
The game, though?
5-11?
I know it's 5 weeks away. You still got four preseason games to go, but the line is Baltimore -4.5. And getting that information, I would now take Baltimore, because I think if they're going to do something super creative, I think, as you saw with Josh Allen, like at the beginning of a season, it's harder to figure out a novel offense than till the end of the season. I just think that, like, if you think Baltimore is better than Miami, and I think a lot of people do, the 4.5 now, I would go, yeah, I'll lay those points. Because if they're going to do something, if he's talking about running an offense that's never been seen before, or trying to create a new offense that everyone will be trying to emulate 25 and 30 years from now, then yes, I think they're going to put up a lot of points on them.
And you know what? I don't think there's no new offenses. There's guys like Andy Reid that are just, they know X's and O's like the back of their hand, so they can figure it out. But my only question would be, who's Lamar Jackson's backup? Because he's going to get injured. Like every running, why is the running back's life career so short? Because the fact that they take the hits from these big ass defenders. So if you start running your quarterback, you have to look at it the same way. He's running the ball 15, 20 times a game. He's taking 15, 20 hits from these big-ass defenders. It's going to shorten his career, and he's going to get injured more. And if you get injured, who's backing him up? If they're going to run this offense –
you know who's backing him up? I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled up their roster.
Who?
RG3.
He can't do that anymore.
Unless there's another quarterback on the roster, they might be carrying three right now.
No, but you know what I'm saying? RG3 is not Lamar Jackson's athleticism anymore. This offense is what ended RG3's career. What we're talking about right now is what ended RG3's career. He was with the Redskins. Crazy thing. They actually played the Ravens, and it's true. I remember watching the game. Haloti Ngata caught him slipping on the hash, hit him and folded his body in half, and it ripped his knee up, and RG3 was never the same.
Yeah, I don't see another quarterback on the roster. I think it is RG3. If Lamar Jackson were to go down, you got yourself some RG3 running with the ball.
He's four steps slower than Lamar Jackson.
At 5 o'clock, Tuan Russell is going to join us. We always enjoy talking with him, former Cane, former Dolphin. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, I got to give away those tickets, right, Solana?
Let's do it.
So we have a contest line or no?
We do not.
Okay, so this is going to be, you got to call the regular call-in line, but we're taking caller number 5. This actually makes it more fair. So the first person, when you hear that ring, you're going to hear Solana pick it up and say you're caller 1. So if you hear the busy signal, that's okay, because we're going to get to caller number 5, and that's the person that'll win the tickets. It's a pair of tickets to check out Luke Bryan's Sunset Repeat Tour with special guests Cole Swindell and John Langston. It is Saturday, Coral Sky Amphitheater. Beautiful place to see a concert up in West Palm Beach. Tickets are still available at livenation.com. And caller 5 is going to get a pair of tickets, like I can see right now. Donald from Deerfield Beach is calling in. He's going to be caller number 1. And so someone's getting a busy signal right now, and we'll go through 5 calls. So caller 5 at 305-567-0560 gets a pair of tickets to check out Luke Bryan this Saturday, Coral Sky Amphitheater. Radio.com. Radio.com.
You just asked me, should we get into the asteroid again?
I'm still not over how close that asteroid was to hitting this man. I'm not even joking. 45,000 miles and
as
no scientists
far,
saw
man,
it?
45,000 miles is way somewhere, man. Don't be worried about that.
You're telling me that a city killer asteroid was on its way to Earth. Nobody saw it until it would have been too late, and you're not worried?
Hawk, he jumps back into asteroid talk as soon as you're late.
I don't understand.
As soon as you're late. You don't understand what?
How am I missing the this was the exact segment that I missed yesterday, I think. How? No, absolutely not. You, if anybody's running that TNT wall, it's you.
Getting lazy already, I see.
No, I'm not getting lazy. I don't know what happened. How long were you on the air?
About 30 seconds. You made it better this
week. Did you play traffic?
I did.
Yes.
Huh. Thought I had it perfectly pegged.
Asteroid, though.
You have to move with a little urgency. You polywop everywhere.
Well, I didn't think though that we were back already. Like I didn't misjudge. I didn't think I had misjudged the time like that. But you really, for the deal Volvo thing, you really need to go touch the TNT wall.
Like right now.
Like right now.
Did something wrong? Okay. What'd he do?
Because I did a live commercial for Deal Volvo a couple
watch
segments
my ankles,
ago,
Chan.
And then watch his footwork.
He told my.
And then
ankle.
Right after my live commercial, he played my voice doing a Deal Volvo commercial. It was like
that's real dumb.
There he goes. We've got the TNT wall set up right here in the studios. He's got heavy feet. Then that is not. You don't think you're fleet of foot, do you? You've got heavy feet there for a young guy. You don't have good footwork, I don't think.
He stomp everywhere.
Like not have good footwork.
It was a pretty obvious cut to the left. Like I don't think I mean
dunk, dunk.
You planted both your feet, you looked left, your eyes went left, your shoulders started to lean left, and then you ran left.
I hold the record for fastest TNT time from the studio. Confirmed.
I don't think so. Think I got that.
Well, I'm sorry for
being. We're arguing about women. Women love a good strong ankle.
Women love a good, strong ankle.
Because he says he has nicer ankles than me.
Man,
which
I got veins in my ankles. I got big muscles in my ankle. Like, women love, they judge a man off ankles.
Bro, let's be honest about this. Nothing concerning your feet have
what
ever
about the
attracted.
That's not my foot. That's the ankle.
It's a good point.
Nothing about your feet
what
have
about my
ever
good foot?
Attracted the opposite sex.
What about my good foot?
No, nothing about your feet,
no.
And I'm including the ankles.
Bro, me and
like,
my wife
is,
already talked
no.
about this. My left foot is garbage.
You have look a skin graft.
But look at that
for
one.
People that don't know.
Look at that one. That's a model foot.
No, it's not.
Bro,
there's something.
Look at that
it
foot.
Almost
that
looks like your foot
nice.
Is on a hinge.
That's
like, what,
a nice foot.
Do you have a tumor? I think
bro,
you have a tumor.
Look at that foot.
What
look
is
how it rolls and flows. It's
that
like a
is
little,
the most bizarre
like a little
looking.
Walrus foot. Like a little walrus paw.
That is bizarre looking, man.
That's like beautiful.
There
foot.
Is nothing about your feet that are
that's
attractive.
My good foot.
No.
You have so much room in between your big toe and like the next one. I don't know why.
Like for people that don't know, I know you did a segment with Greg Likens a few weeks ago, but he's got a skin graft on one of his feet that's actual ass skin,
yeah.
Like it's an ass foot.
That's
so.
That left. You know how they say my good side? People are like, oh, this is my good side for pictures. I have a garbage ass foot, but that right foot is nice. I don't care what y'all say.
You mispronounce feet. You have garbage ass feet, and I would try to find something else that.
So even the ankle, I wear no show socks so people can see my ankles.
Yeah, stay away from anything with your feet.
What socks?
Did we get we got a winner for the Luke Bryan tickets?
We did, Leonard.
All right, very good. I see here on the show sheet that Solana put together, he really did make his 7 best cheesecakes from Cheesecake Factory. Oh, this is from Spoon University.
What's
today's
that?
I don't know. Today's National Cheesecake Day. And yeah, I could tell you all right. Already, the number one cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory, according to them, is the fresh strawberry. Number two is the red velvet. Red velvet is their best cheesecake, so this list is flawed. The red velvet cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory is unsurpassed by any cheesecake on the planet. And there are the Junior's Cheesecake, which they've got locations in New York, but they opened in Boca and then closed. But their cheesecake is world famous. Eli's Cheesecake from Chicago, world famous. There is nothing better than the red velvet cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory.
I disagree.
Lasagna?
But
no, not lasagna.
Cheesecake.
Have you never been to Fireman Derrick's in Wynwood?
Fireman Derrick's?
Fireman Derrick's in Wynwood. Yeah. Has the best cheesecake. I've actually never even been to Cheesecake Factory.
Really?
Never.
I love Cheesecake Factory.
That damn menu is a dictionary.
It's unbelievable how extensive that menu is.
Everything you want.
We were thinking this, I think it was the past weekend, and my kid, I said, where do you want to go? Let's go to Cheesecake Factory. And he goes, I'm not crazy about anything there. I go, how's that possible? I literally had this conversation like 4 days ago. I go, how's that possible? It's the most extensive menu on the planet. It's bound. How many?
It's a spiral notebook.
How many menus do you know that have a spiral connector for it?
I'm the opposite of your son. I get overwhelmed by all the crap I like.
It's too much.
I just give me meat.
It's enough already.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's enough. Too much.
Too much.
Too much. It's enough already. Let's see who's celebrating birthdays today. Gina Rodriguez. Who is that?
She is from TV.
TV.
Well, who is it? You put her on the celebrity birthdays.
I put this list together last night, so I honestly forgot. But
you forgot
Google
from last night to today who Gina Rodriguez is? Does that make you question whether she belonged on the celebrity birthdays?
Hell of a point.
You're telling me you knew last night who Gina Rodriguez was?
She's from
but
Jane,
today you don't?
She's from Jane the Virgin. I've actually never seen the show either.
I can't let this go just for 1 second. You're telling me last night if I asked you that question, you had an answer ready to go, but today you have forgotten?
Should have texted me last night.
Okay. Hope Solo is 38 years old today.
Roast beef.
Hillary Swank is 45 years old today.
What was that?
Hillary Swank was in...
She's in a movie.
A movie.
Oh, TV. Okay.
Terry Crews is 51. He's on America's Got Talent. You watch that?
No.
He's a very good host on that. He does Brooklyn Nine-Nine too, right?
Yeah, he's also in White Chicks.
He's funny as hell. He bounces his little breasts around.
Yes, yes. Lisa Kudrow from Friends, 56. Lawrence Fishburne.
Morpheus.
One of our favorites. Not Morpheus.
That's Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes, no, but what do we love Lawrence Fishburne in? Lawrence Fishburne is Furious.
Furious.
Lawrence
Furious
Fishburne.
Furious Styles.
Furious Styles. He's only 58. Wow. Arnold Schwarzenegger is 72 years old today.
Get to the chopper.
On this day in 1982, the movie Night Shift was released. Henry Winkler and Shelley Long. That movie is still a banger to this day. Michael Keaton, I believe that was his first movie. This is Chuck reminding Bill to shut up. Very narrow audience that got that movie line right there. This is Chuck reminding Bill to shut up.
Night Shift.
Legendary line, Night Shift. They were running a brothel. What do we call it? Out of the morgue.
Yeah, because the morgue, a brothel out of the morgue.
Because the morgue, we're not very busy at night. You know, you get a couple of intakes or whatever. But so the guy at the morgue started running like an escort service, if you will,
I like
and
it.
Take advantage of his time. He's there all night.
I'm gonna watch that.
It's a legendary movie. All right, Twan Russell is gonna join us in the next segment. Twan Russell does unbelievable charitable work for the Miami Dolphins and for his own Twan Russell Foundation. We've always said he's maybe the most charitable former athlete in South Florida.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's certainly on the Mount Rushmore if he's not the actual one.
For sure.
A couple events coming up with the Miami Dolphins that Twan is involved in, so we will talk with him when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.